Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you all and welcome to DW's Africa Link program with me, Isaac Mugabe, your host in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, pressure is mounting on President Ali Bongo of Gabon over a disputed election win after EU observers reported a clear anomaly in the vote and former colonial power France urged a recount.
Faut un processus électoral clair, nous avons déjà eu...
There needs to be a clear electoral process. We have already said so. There are some doubts and debates. The European observers on the ground also said so because they monitor the elections.
World Health Organization, WHO, confirms a third polio case in Nigeria in an area newly liberated from Boko Haram Islamic extremists.
The situation is very urgent, even though only three cases have been detected so far.
Also on the program, we will be hearing about the challenges within Ghana's justice system that can provide free legal representation for inmates who can't afford lawyers. Stay tuned.
Top story.
We begin today's program with developments in Gabon, where pressure has been mounting on President Ali Bongo over a disputed election win after EU observers reported a clear anomaly in the vote and former colonial power France and his ex-justice minister urged a recount. Bongo claimed victory in the August 27 poll by a water-thin margin of some 6,000 votes. But in the meantime, the African Union has also announced plans to send a delegation to help resolve the crisis there. Martina Shvikovsky has prepared the following report.
Following the post-election violence that erupted in Gabon, the African Union now plans to send a high-level delegation to the capital, Libreville, to help calm the situation. The AU's decision came as French Prime Minister Manuel Valls called for a recount of the presidential election results in the Central African nation.
Faut un processus électoral clair, nous avons déjà eu...
There needs to be a clear electoral process. We have already said so. There are some doubts and debates. The European observers on the ground also said so because they monitor the elections and level criticism on the basis of objective facts. It would be wise to call for a new vote count, but our priority today is the safety of the 15,000 French citizens who live and work in Gabon.
Les 15,000 Français qui vivent et travaillent au Gabon.
On Monday, Justice Minister Seraphine Muandunga resigned from his position. According to the news agency AFP, Muandunga had also demanded a recount of the votes, polling station by polling station, and registry by registry. Although calm has returned to the capital Libreville, the military continues to man the streets and Gabonese are still afraid. In an interview with DW, a Libreville resident who asked not to be identified told the harrowing story of how his brother was killed.
My brother and I were still up in the neighborhood. We began hearing shots from afar, and then more shots. Suddenly, everyone began to run to their homes. Then I looked at my brother, and I told him we should also go. As I came closer to him, I asked, "What's the problem?" He said, "I don't know. I can't move my body." So I ran and woke my mother up. We quickly drove him to the general hospital, but he was already dead when we arrived.
The government has reported at least 7 deaths and over 1,000 arrests since violence broke out. But Mark Ona, a coordinator of Tournons la Page Gabon, said the figure is far higher.
Many children have been reported missing. Parents are looking for their children. We are working with them to organize the search. The search for the activist and former member of parliament who left the ruling party, Bertrand Zibi, is keeping us specially busy.
The opposition leader Jean Ping on Monday declared himself president and called for a general strike to force President-elect Ali Bongo out. However, not many answered his call, as shops and banks reopened in the capital Libreville. The only oil refinery, Sogara, which had been closed since the violence broke out, also restarted production on Monday. Mathilde Debain, a French political commentator, told DW that the security situation is still unstable and many people are still searching for their relatives. Debain also doubts the government's figures of the death toll.
It's probably more hundreds of people than just the 7 or 10 they are officially talking about.
The Archbishop of Libreville on Saturday urged the ruling party and the opposition to ensure that the crisis does not get out of hand. But according to Debain, the situation could soon escalate further.
Martina Shvikovsky with that report. And because of the political crisis in Gabon, many of its nationals have fled to neighboring Cameroon, fearing tensions could further escalate the already fragile situation in the capital, Libreville. DW's Moki Kinzeka has been at the border town of Kiosi and sent this report.
Within the past 3 days, about 130 refugees from Gabon have arrived in Kiosi on the Cameroonian border with Gabon and Equatorial Guinea. Among the new arrivals is Constance Oyubi, a 33-year-old, who says she escaped from a police cell in Libreville, where she was detained for taking onto the streets with some of Jean Ping's supporters. She says incumbent Ali Bongo wants to remain in power at all costs.
He does not want to leave power, and we are very much afraid because Gabon is a very small country. If they start destroying it now, I do not know what will happen after.
Another new arrival, Brice Bihina, says he also fled from Libreville, where the violence escalated. He says he fears Western powers may not want Ali Bongo in power and may attack the country.
Gabonese are fighting among themselves, and the Bongo dynasty is responsible for what is happening. In Libya, Gaddafi was chased because it was said that he had overstayed in power. Those who wanted Bongo there may no longer want him. Relations between France and Gabon have not been good since Bongo's son succeeded his father. Surely, France has an invisible hand in the conflict.
Gabonese businessman Minja Joseph says the French media has been reporting in favor of Jean Ping, who lost the election. But he also believes Ali Bongo will do everything to stay in power. Joseph is therefore urging Western countries with interest in Gabon to allow the people to solve their own problems.
What is happening in Gabon is a manifestation of our difficulties to introduce Western cultures in Africa. That is all. In Africa, you do not elect a king. The African traditional model of rising to power should be reconsidered again. It is not the question of Ali Bongo leaving or staying. It is for the ruling elite in Gabon to enter a consensus on who should lead.
The refugee crisis that hit Germany quite recently is also playing out in Cameroon. And like in Germany, many in Cameroon also say refugees are welcome. Erika Anzama, a 30-year-old business lady and resident of Kiosi, opened her home to 15 Gabonese who are sleeping in a tent on her courtyard.
They come to Cameroon because they are traumatized. They are running away from the uprising. You know, the problem they are facing today in their country, Cameroon can also face the problems. So we receive them because tomorrow it might be you, it might be me. And they also ought to receive us. So what we do is we welcome them. If we can give them places to lodge for some time before they start getting acquainted to the environment, that's what we do.
Since the presidential election results were announced on Wednesday, Gabon has been hit by protests and mass arrests. The media reported that over 1,000 people are currently under police and military detention.
Moki Kinzeka reporting from the border town of Kiosi.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
The The World Health Organization has confirmed a third case of polio in Nigeria, in an area newly liberated from Boko Haram Islamists, amid fears the disease could resurge in neighboring countries. Nigeria, once the global epicenter of the wild polio virus, had been declared polio-free last year, along with the African continent. But two cases were discovered last month among refugees from areas recently won back by Nigeria's military from Boko Haram. Before we came on air, I spoke to Oliver Rosenbauer, communications officer and polio expert at WHO, and he starts by describing the polio situation in Nigeria.
The situation is very urgent, even though only three cases have been detected so far. The poliovirus is a very highly infectious disease, which spreads easily, including among persons who might be infected but don't actually show any symptoms of the disease, and they in turn can spread the virus themselves to great distances. So at the moment, it's really a situation that the whole area is at risk, and children in particular, and that is why it's critical to fully conduct a regional outbreak response activity, and that's what the government of Nigeria, together with other governments in the Lake Chad Basin region, are doing at the moment.
This is an area recently freed from the Boko Haram terrorist group. Do you fear that more cases will turn up in other areas still controlled by the Boko Haram Islamists?
The poliovirus basically doesn't discriminate between such human factors, whether who controls which area or why a child might not be vaccinated, whether it's due to a lack of infrastructure or whether it's due to resistance or whether it's due to inaccessibility because there might be active conflict in that given area. The poliovirus is very, very good at finding unvaccinated children, whatever the reason. And because you have a lot of population movements right across the region, from accessible areas right into inaccessible areas and back out again, and that is how the poliovirus travels. Right now, the entire region is at risk, and the urgency is to vaccinate every child, regardless of where they live.
How closely, then, are you working with the local communities and the Nigerian government, just like you did in the Middle East, to fight polio?
Well, of course, we work very closely with the Nigerian government. In fact, it's and other governments in the region who are conducting the outbreak response. Organizations like WHO are there to support. We work in the broader humanitarian emergency context. As you know, Borno State is affected by a polio outbreak, but by a huge wealth of other urgent health needs as well. You have a lot of displaced populations. You have a lot of malnutrition, populations who are malnourished. You have other diseases. And so in a kind of broader humanitarian response effort, you want to deliver the polio vaccine alongside all the other health interventions as well.
Oliver Rosenbauer, communications officer and polio expert at WHO.
Behind the headlines.
Ghana's justice system is facing many challenges. Top on the list is the lack of legal representation for many suspects who can't afford to pay lawyers. The country's legal aid scheme, mandated to intervene in such cases, is also overwhelmed by requests for legal aid, but has not been able to provide the much-needed support. This has resulted in delayed trials, and many suspects have been on remand for years now, and others have not received fair trials. From Accra, Isaac Kalichi reports.
I want to know the mental status of my client. I want to know. I'm preparing a defense for him. I still feel like I need to get the mental report, the medical report on his mind. And here we are doing the remand. We haven't started the trial.
That's a prominent legal practitioner in Ghana, Augustine Obuor, speaking to the media after making a legal representation for his client, a murder suspect, in court. The suspect is not paying for his fees, which are financed by the country's legal aid scheme. There are thousands of cases involving suspects without money to afford their own lawyers. Many accused that do not get legal aid languish in jail, on remand, and sometimes for years. So who can benefit from the legal aid scheme in Ghana? I have been speaking to the director of the unit, Alhassan Yahaya Sini.
The consular mandate of the legal aid delivery is supposed to be providing legal aid for people who seek to defend the constitution. The next serious one is the criminal matter of matters of indictment, the person automatically is entitled to legal aid. Then we have the other criminal matters for persons who cannot afford lawyer services.
But Seni says that many people do not get the required support. Their final destination is prison, and the major reason has been a lack of funds for the legal aid scheme. There are only 20 lawyers serving over 10,000 cases recorded annually. Seni laments the burden on his colleagues and the implications for the accused.
Now, clearly, it is a matter of resources. If we look at, without any empirical research, the average person who finds himself in custody can be considered to be a poor person. So you look at our crowded prisons, and you know that because of the technical things that are involved in criminal justice, if these people had the proper legal representation, they most probably would not be where they find themselves.
As a result of a death in financing, it has become difficult for the legal aid scheme to attract lawyers to work for it. Human rights activist Wilberforce Asare, who has visited many prisons in recent times where he talked to those in custody, says the current justice system of Ghana risks becoming an unjust system for justice seekers if the legal aid isn't resourced quickly.
Currently, in the whole of the Republic of Ghana, there are only 20 lawyers who work for the legal aid system. And even the number of courts in our country, criminal courts in our country, is more than 200. So if you have 20 lawyers, and there are criminal cases in our courts day in and day out, several cases. And so what it means is that the legal aid scheme is under siege as far as Ghana is concerned.
Seni is now appealing to lawyers to give a helping hand to address the worrying situation. A similar appeal was directed at the central government. But in an economically challenged country like Ghana, there is no guarantee that help will come anytime soon.
Isaac Kalechi reporting.
For more about Africa Link, go to dw.com/AfricaLink. Find out about Africa Link's partner stations. Send us your feedback in a text message and sign up for our newsletter, dw.com/AfricaLink.
We now head to Zambia, where there are mixed reactions among ordinary people after the country's constitutional court on Monday threw out an attempt by the defeated presidential candidate to annul August's election results, clearing the way for President Edgar Lungu's inauguration next week. Hakainde Hichilema, who lost the election by 100,000 votes, alleged that the result was rigged and launched a legal bid to stop Lungu retaining power. The official results put Lungu narrowly ahead on 50% against 47% for Hichilema among a field of 9 candidates, just enough to avoid a second round of runoff. From Lusaka, Kathy Sikombi sent this report.
The court's decision to uphold the victory of President Edgar Lungu did not come as a major surprise. What shocked many was how opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema's supporters remained calm. The country had been on a standstill for the last 2 weeks as the court proceedings were closely monitored. Hichilema had filed a petition challenging the election of Edgar Lungu. But news of the collapse of the petition was received with jubilation by the ruling party, as Edgar Ngoma, one of the party's senior members, explains.
The Zambian people have spoken. I think that this country as a Christian nation, it's important that we respect the will of the people.
On the streets of Lusaka, many people reacted to the ruling with mixed feelings.
I'm very happy that this thing it has come to an end. Really, it was very tight thing, which I didn't have peace because I was waiting of the Constitution Court to tell us what exactly is going to be. I'm working with the government today. I can support, not really I'm PF, but I think we can just work together with the government of today.
So far, so good. I'm pretty sure that the elections, the petition are now done, and we are sure we have the president in the country now. To my part, okay, it's very much good. It's good that finally we have the president in power, because we've been waiting for this. It was like the petition was just delaying the president to start his work, his duties.
They were supposed to continue.
Are you happy that it has gone to the PF?
Yes, I am, but it looks like they have just thrown someone out without... We are not really sure that PF has won.
What would you have liked to see?
I would like to see the government to continue the petition. I don't think that UPND was treated fairly because this petition has not gone on well.
According to the amended constitution, the constitutional court was supposed to deal with the matter within 14 days. Elias Chipimo, a lawyer, says the decision to dismiss the case has divided the country even further.
The justice must not only be done, but it must be seen to be done. And I agree, if you look at the intention behind the 14 days, it was to make sure that these petitions did not drag on forever. But one interpretation is that it must start within 14 days. Another is that it must be completed within 14 days from the date of filing of the petition. That's not what the Constitution actually says. It doesn't say it must be completed. And one could argue that the drafters of the wording should have made it clear that it must start from the date of filing petition. It must start and be concluded within 14. That would have made it very clear with no issue. But because it didn't say that, it's open to interpretation.
Meanwhile, the political situation in the country after the election seems to be getting worse. Zambia's broadcasting regulator, the Independent Broadcasting Authority, IBA, recently suspended the licenses of the country's biggest privately owned television station, Movie TV, Komboni Radio, and Iteje Teje Radio, for what they described as unprofessional reporting, a move media activists say seems politically motivated. Kamufisa Manchishi, a media expert at the University of Zambia, says most major media outlets are sympathetic to or are controlled by the ruling Patriotic Front government of President Edgar Lungu.
Consequently, it means even the citizens no longer have access to a channel where they can air their grievances, especially when they have views that are critical, views that are being blacked out in the other media types. And then if you also look at different platforms that people use to access information, the internet media not so common here in Zambia. We still have a very low internet penetration rate. So what this means is that people don't have any alternative of accessing various types of information other than radio and TV, or just basically the conventional media.
As the country returns to normalcy, many analysts say that last month's election has clearly divided the country further on tribal lines.
Kathy Sikombi reporting.
Opinion.
And for opinion this week, we would like to hear from you, the listener, what you have to say about the polio outbreak in Nigeria. Do you think the government has done enough sensitization in northern Nigeria about the disease that had been kicked out on the entire continent? And we would like also to hear your opinion on whether you think it is right for France to continue meddling in Gabon's political affairs after the disputed August 27 election. Send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link DW53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 491609575910. And we will read certainly some of your responses on your Say segment every Friday right here on Africa Link. And now, a reminder of the stories that we've covered for you in the last 25 minutes. Pressure mounted on President Ali Bongo of Gabon on Tuesday over a disputed election win after EU observers reported a clear anomaly in the vote, and former colonial power France and its ex-justice minister urged a recount. The World Health Organization has confirmed a third case of polio in an area of Nigeria newly liberated from Boko Haram Islamic extremists. We've also had mixed reactions from ordinary Zambians after the Constitutional Court threw out an attempt by the defeated presidential candidate to annul August's election results, clearing the way for President Edgar Lungu's inauguration next week. For more news and exciting videos, visit our website dw.com/Africa. This is Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, wishing you a splendid day ahead.